too?
I have, and she's getting better, getting a little stronger.
That's great. And Lenny McMaster, she's improved, and she's out of her therapy, and let's continue to pray for all these. And also Charlotte DePriest is doing better. And Kathy Taylor's at home, and she's still improving, correct?
She's doing pretty good.
That's great. Let's continue to pray for all these. And a nice donation was made from Linda and Otis Watson, as well as Cody and Samantha Watson, Anthony Whitfield, Bryson Allen, and Bishop Whitfield. Bill and Alta Stewart was made to the Crockett Cemetery Fund, and then with Joe Beer. And let's continue to pray for Joe's family. Hope you're enjoying the choice of articles for the Biblical Scholars on page 2 this year. And the truth is sought, and we can be blessed. It's sad to announce that the passing last Thursday, May 28th, of Gary Wayne Gibson at age 52. He's a son and Betty Ann Bowling and nephew of Roy Bowling here in Tucson. Monday, June 1st at 2 p.m. Crockett Cemetery. There'll be a burial tomorrow. Okay. He was a member of the church and who worked at Chrome Crash for most of his adult life. Sisters include Deborah, Wanda, Sharon, of St. Toby, and Sherry Gibson of Strayhorn. Deceased father was Larry Gibson. I do not have any more announcements. If anybody has anything, please let me know. If not, begin our service in song. Good to see each of you here this morning.
Amen.
Let's open our song books this morning to number 438. 438. Redeemed have I to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. Redeemed and so happy in Jesus. No language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of His presence with me doth continually dwell. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and
still 'tis God's hand that
Sometimes it seems a deepest gloom, sometimes
gracious and loving Heavenly Father, again we are so grateful that on another sunshiny day that we can gather together in this place as your church, Father, to worship you, we pray, in spirit and in truth. Thanking you, Father, for the love that you had for us in sending your Son into the world to die on the cross for us. And Father, to leave us the words that you would have us to know through his gospel that we have salvation with you if we'll only be obedient to your word. Thank you, Father, for the church that meets here at this place. We pray, Father, that we'll always teach the truth, that we can teach our neighbors, and Father, help us to live our lives in such a way that they can see you through us. Thank you for the spiritual blessings that we have through you and your Son, Jesus. Father, and for the physical things that we have in this life, we realize that all blessings come from you. Help us to use these blessings in such a way, Father, that it not only help us to live a comfortable life, to even help those that are around about us that are in need. Thank you, Father, for us being able to be here. We're thankful that you are watching over the sick and helping those to recover. And Father, we ask our blessings for you to bless them in such a way that they can recover their health. Amen. For those that are grieving over loss of loved ones, Father, we ask you to comfort them and help them. Help them to know that there will be better days ahead, Father, but good memories that we have of those in the past, Father, will stay with us forever. Thank you for allowing us to live in a land such as we do. That the United States of America has fought and died for its freedoms. We're grateful for those who have taken care of this land over the years. We're grateful for those who have died for it. We're thankful that we have the freedoms that we have and we have the bounty that we have, that we can even help other nations. Father, the greatest things that we have is that we can meet and assemble and worship you. And we can be Christians without being afraid of molestation and And Father, we pray that these freedoms will last. Thank you so much for the men and women that protect us, for those in the military, for those that are first responders, for the doctors and nurses that we have. And during this time, Father, of the pandemic, we pray, Father, that you'll bless them, help them to help those that are sick. And Father, we pray that we may be spared from having this disease. Father, thank you so much for giving us all the things that we have. But for Jesus to die on that cross for our sins was the greatest thing that could ever be given to a being. Help us, Father, to follow your word. Help us, Father, to always ask you to forgive us when we're wrong, for we know that we do commit sins. And Father, we ask you to strengthen us and help us to overcome these faults. Forgive us of our sins, Father. Watch over and care for us through the rest of this service and even now and throughout life. We're thankful for Brother Robert that he may bring us a message today that it will stir our souls and help us to be better Christians and make us strong in your kingdom. Thank you for Brother Tom leading the songs that we sing. These things we ask in Jesus' name, and amen.
Amen. In preparation for the Lord's Supper, let's turn to number 159.
Left on.
which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come.
Heavenly Father, it's a comfort knowing that what your Son did for us to save us, and that we know that we will have a home with you and if we follow your instruction. Heavenly Father, this represents that body that hung on the cross. And Father, we pray that who partakes of it does so in a manner pleasing to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this fruit of vine which represents that precious blood that was shed for us. Father, we partake of it. May we remember that great sacrifice and do so in a manner pleasing to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Blessing you give us. And Father, as we give back today, Father, we pray that we'll give back with a cheerful heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We have 20 present this morning. Today is May 31st, 2020, for taping purposes. If you would at this time, let's mark our song books at number 687. 687 is the song of invitation after our lesson this morning. And once you've marked that, let's turn to number 363. 363.
Jesus, oh Jesus.
One of the great chapters in the Bible that really pertains to the subject of how to rear our children as parents and how to be the kind of parents that we ought to be is found in the book of Proverbs chapter 29. And we'll be going there this morning in Proverbs chapter 29. Good information is given to us as to how to guide and direct children any time that we talk about the book of Proverbs. In fact, a little earlier in Proverbs 22 at verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. The idea of that is not that he'll depart and never come back, but that he will come back. Because that's the way that was right and righteous, and the way that he understood from your example in life, my example in life as parents, that he would follow that way all the way through his life. But he says there, train up a child the way he should go. The word train carries with it a unique idea more so than teaching. Teaching is one part of that. Teaching with discipline is another part of that. Of course, getting closer all the time to training. But the training of a child is a way in which there is understood by practice and conduct. This is the way to live. This is the way to do. My late father-in-law, Brother William Hull, used to tell the story of a lady whose little boy was bringing in his cap, and he was always throwing it at a knob on the wall and never hitting it, and it was always down on the floor. And one day she decided along the way to help him to put his cap onto that knob that she had put on the wall. Hang it up, she said. And she did that 50 times. She asked him to go back through the door, close the door, come back through the door, and come up there. He respected her enough that he did that. And the story went on to say he always understood that when he went through a door, whether he wore a hat or not, he looked for the knob that was there for people to put it on the wall. Well, that may be what it has reference in mind too, but in Proverbs 29 and at verse 1, it says, he that's often reproved. If we gripe and fuss and gripe and fuss and gripe and fuss to have things done, it is said there, he that is often reproved hardeneth his neck and shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. This person who is facing that kind of reproof over and over again, that is facing the kind of resistance over and over again, often reproving someone, often nagging and profaning the youth of that person, will not benefit that person in the long run. That's the way not to lead and to guide. It's the way to tell information and to have that information in front of somebody that will reprove. The word reprove and rebuke are much alike, though different words that are used in the Old Testament of the Bible. One word in reference to that, the reprove and rebuke. The word rebuke carries with it the idea of a discipline or a challenge, a chastisement that can possibly be there, accompanying that rebuke. Some people take that because English uses that word more sharply. But the word reprove is really in the Hebrew more sharp. It is the idea of over and over again having the opportunity to guide and direct a person as we live life from day to day. In parents directing their children, there's a way in which it can be directed by way of every activity that they engage. The bed in which they sleep at night, did it just all of a sudden get there? Well, no. Someone built that. Did he build it out of just anything that would fall in when they lay down upon it, weighing 150 pounds now versus the days when they weighed 95 pounds? No, that's not the way that's done. The idea of having that to be available to the person, so that person will understand that there is adequate preparation made. There is a change that is made. Now, what can be made about these nice things that are called sheets on the bed? How did they come about? Well, they came about from an insect, an animal that had the availability of it, or from a cotton plant that doesn't look like anything like that, but yet there is enough of the threads to go with it. We worked for a number of years over in Oklahoma, Mississippi, and had a great time there. One of the families, the Puckett family, owned a shirt factory. They worked in conjunction with the factory up in Savannah, Tennessee, that was a HIS company, H-I-S company. And they had those particular shirts that they manufactured and worked together. And they also had, at the end of the production line, they had a man picking up shirts that were here and putting them in a box that had a particular brand name to it. It listed with Fred's, it listed with them. And they had another box over here that was listed with another company. And it was a lesser known company. I knew of one that was down in Greenville, Mississippi, having lived in the Delta. But that's the only one I knew of. And so I raised questions in regard to the boxes that to which the guy was placing the shirts that came off the line. He stopped the line to explain to me that the ones going into this particular box would be bought by people who went into that store. And they went into that store and they went to that particular spot and they found this shirt and they found it at a really good price. They enjoyed that. They may have bought one or two or three of them. May have bought a half a dozen of them at that price. But he mentioned this other particular store. It was a more high-end store. Cost a little bit more. A lot more, in fact. He explained that there would be people that they would not, for any amount of money, step foot in their store. They simply would not do it, much less go through the merchandise that they had. In this box, they would sell these shirts for $2.50. In this other box, they would sell the same shirt for $8. But the people would never know the difference in the cost of the shirt because of the assumption that store was a high-end store and would charge a good bit more, and they just presumed it. And it was that way. I said, well, what's the difference in the shirts there? He said, in this particular run, there's no difference. The threads on the shirts are such numbers, and he counted the numbers for them, per square inch. And he said, the threads are there in that way. And this other one is the same thing. However, he says when there's a change done in the mechanized work of doing this, there can be half as many threads done with the same pattern and the same color shirt, the same design, versus one that does not. All of that is the idea of preparation that is done. And we need to be people who are prepared in life and teach our young people to be prepared for the circumstances in life and not make foolhardy decisions on the basis of our choices that we make. It is noted in Proverbs 29 verse 2 that when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. I think we can see that that's the true in essence. We've lived long enough and studied history enough and been a part of generations enough to realize that those who particularly hold a particular idea about government and the rule of government can change their views about that, and it becomes the rulership of someone else. But when there is the understanding that righteousness is in authority, And when people are in charge of that, doing right things, people can rejoice instead of being so sad about the circumstance. In verse 3, he says, "Whoso loveth wisdom rejoiceth his father, and he that keepeth company with harlots spendeth his substance." The idea of money that's involved would be a wise thing, that his father would rejoice to see him make good use of his funds and good use of his strength and good use of his ability. On the other hand, there would be disease, there would be hurt, and there would be harm that would be done. Do not make the choice toward those who would spend your substance and have nothing left for it. These particular things need to be taught and need to be explained. And in the reproving of a child or in the rebuking of a child, the idea is to be sure that that is accepted. I've known of people who took the children and who showed them certain places and noted the difference between the cost involved in here and the cost involved in there. As a result, children hopefully would make a better choice. It is noted in Proverbs 29 and at verse 6, "In the transgression of an evil man, there is a snare, but the righteous doth sing and rejoice." The idea of there being no cost whatsoever when I do it my way, when I do it the way that I've done it through the years and I've been okay, doesn't mean that if the right way has been avoided, that there will always be success. There is coming a time in which there won't be that success. Let's go down all the way to Proverbs 29 and at verse 15. "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings his mother to shame." You've never seen the idea of somebody saying, "Well, let's just go and make our own decisions successfully." Without the background of doing right and being right, without the background of good success in doing what, without the background of not the reproving often, but of the suggestions that are given and guidance that is given, that person will not have success. It is noted there that a child left to himself brings his mother to shame. When a child is left to himself, there is such a place and time in which that can be done, and you can rejoice to see the choices that are made and the decisions that are made and the successful conclusions that are brought. Versus someone who finds himself always being on his own. Let's be people who help those children. In verse 18 it says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he." In life, as we choose to go forth, where there is no vision, we don't look ahead, we don't see ahead. The speed of a car stopping is different when that speed is higher. It may very well be that we find ourselves looking off and not realizing till someone teaches us and shows us how far we can travel at 60 miles an hour just looking off for a moment. We're talking about many, many feet. We're talking about many, many feet of travel. There is no question but what that can be the case. A good lady over in Oklahoma, Mississippi, was a wonderful person, member of the church over there, and involved, had a little boy. And one day when they were traveling to Tupelo, he dropped something on the floor of the car. With one hand on the steering wheel, she reached over, not realizing that that hand on the steering wheel would pull that automobile And when she recognized where she was, it was too late, and off into the pit she was gone. There was a lot of bones that were broken, a lot of hurt that was done. The little boy was young enough that he was saying, do it again, because it was a fun thing to him. It was a joyful thing to him. He didn't have the vision to realize beyond what his playtime was, and beyond what his joyful time, and beyond this sudden moving about was, there was much cost that was involved. Let's be people who have vision to see what's ahead in our future. In Proverbs 29 and verse 22, an angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression. A man's pride, he says in verse 23, shall bring him low, but honor shall behold the humble in spirit. Let's be people who agree with what we're reading here in God's Word as pertains to business, as pertains to rearing a child in the home, as revealed in regard to Joyce's decision making as we go through life. Instead of looking at this as the Word of God from the standpoint of being angry about it and furious about it and pride built up, that will often bring that person low. It's a better day and time to have that particular thing be done. It is noted in verse 25, Proverbs 29 at verse 25. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. The idea of respect for something that he has in mind often doesn't consider all that's involved. And the person can have a snare that is there. Sometimes individuals find themselves thinking about something, not realizing the full measure of it. They get themselves into that snare, that trap that hurts and harms. Versus the way of life that is said to be the trust in the Lord. The trust in the Lord's righteous way of following and doing. He's offered several suggestions already in this particular chapter in regard to how that person does. For example, back in verse 9, a verse that we skipped earlier, in Proverbs 29, verse 9. If a wise man contendeth with a foolish man, whether he rage or laughed, there is no rest. May think that that's the right thing to do. It's a fun thing to do. But the problems and troubles that can come from that is a part of a snare that entraps him. A part of a way of life that does not have the trust in the Lord, but a trust in that. Let's be people then who follow God's way and God's will. What's the result of people who go in the wicked ways? One book later, the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 8, and down at verse number 8 and 9. I guess I said Proverbs chapter 8, verses 8 and 9. For there is no man that hath power over the Spirit to retain the Spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death. There is no discharge in that war, neither shall wickedness deliver those who are given to it. He goes on to say here in this regard, verse 11, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do that which is evil. Though a sinner do evil 100 times, and his days be prolonged, no real problem. Everything is done this way, and it's evil, but I'm successfully getting away with it. Yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. Then he says in verse 13, what happens to those in wickedness? But it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before God. When we find ourselves in life doing things that are evil, remember that ultimately there comes a problem. In guiding children in our lives, we must be people who lovingly guide, protect, and care for. We must not be people who nag and fuss and complain. We must not be people who foolishly treat them. When God worked with us, what did he do? He sent Jesus, who had a number of questions to ask people to get them to study with him. In Matthew 23, reference is made to those who came to ask him, by what authority do you cast out of the temple? By what authority do you do these things? And Jesus said, I will tell you by what authority I do this if you will tell me one thing. And they looked at him and Jesus said, John's baptism. Question, whence was it? Was it from heaven or was it of man? They didn't make the right answer on that particular day, but they did stop their fussing at him. And they got together and talked about it. And as they talked about it, they said, you know, if he says it's from heaven, the next question he'll ask us is, why didn't you submit to it? Why didn't you give yourself to it? If it's from heaven, it's from God, and that's God's way. But if we say it's of man, we know how we've taught people to react to one that they call a prophet. And we know that how they react will be the same way they react to us. Thus they came back to Jesus saying, we cannot say, we cannot tell. Jesus knew they could, but they wouldn't. And he said, neither do I tell you by what authority I do these things. He knew it was by the authority of God itself. Just like John's baptism was important. Because it was God sent. It was from heaven, not of man. Hope you've enjoyed our study today in this regard, a way of presenting this regarding children, not being too demanding on them by words or by mannerisms, but by way of guidance and reproof that has a way of chastisement to it, that verbally has a way of guiding a person, helping them to see ahead, so that their dangers that they'll face otherwise will not have to be faced. If you're subject to Jesus' invitation today, think about the relationship you have with God. And as we follow him in the New Testament of our Bible, we get over to the book of Acts and we see people on the day of Pentecost being told to repent and be baptized for the remission of their sins. And they will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We find that the people of the Gentiles in Acts chapter 10 and Acts chapter 11, that they glorified God, saying God's granted repentance unto life to the Gentile. Repentance was important. Can any man forbid water that they should not be baptized? The idea was that we would be people who recognized the Gentile world was taught the same message. The same message of importance, to be immersed into Christ and to live faithfully for him. As we live faithfully for him, I hope that some of these things you'll remember out of Proverbs chapter 29 to practice in the direction of a child's life. May God bless you all and bless us all. The song provided today is a song to tell us of these things and think about it. Let's stand together as we sing this good old hymn.
Hear the sweet voice of Jesus. Come for he loves you so.
He's the same loving Savior yet. Jesus the crucified. Open for you the pearly gate. Loved ones for you. Now watch and wait. Terrible thought to cry too late. Jesus, I come to thee. Only a step, only a step. Come, for he bled for you and I. He's the same loving Savior yet. Jesus, the
as we go forth in this particular day, you can speak to one another in regard to next Sunday. But we need to know to tell people even today, what will we do next Sunday? Will we do the same way that we've been doing it? Same way we did today? Another week? Would anybody oppose doing it just another week? Well, let's do that another week, and we'll ask the same question. See you next week for our 10th day service. Yes. The communion cup that we take, and you take the book up, no one else has touched by it. But I put a glove on after service, and I go through and pick up those.